Amen and amen. Now tonight, I've been thinking about it, and I don't know if I'll preach on this tonight or not, but I've been thinking about the red heifer, and I've been thinking about the second coming, and I've been preaching on the war in Gaza, and I do believe that is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy leading up to the second coming. And I think the red heifer, how many have heard about the red heifer and the offering that's coming? I believe that is another significant event that will lead the way to the second coming. I'm not saying I'm going to preach on that tonight, but I am preparing. So think about that. And by the way, we have more people that gave toward that 53 years. And we want to, we don't have time, obviously, now. We're way behind, but we want to do that tonight. So we encourage you to come out, and we can do that tonight in this special day to celebrate this special day. Now, I mentioned our former pastor, Charles Ware, and I've given a lot of quotes from him. And one of the things he said that a lot of times people think the Christian life and being a Christian is like picking apples for God. And he said, I would compare it, you know, his family were migrant workers and they would pick crops. And he said, I would compare it to going out and help these kids get into the nursery, would you guys? And so I would compare it to go out and pick apples and bring them back to Jesus. And if we have enough apples, that the Lord will say, okay, you can come into heaven. You've done enough for me, you can come in. And so come on in, you're welcome to come on in. And you can do that. And a lot of people think that that is the way the Christian life is. Help out, guys, to get that with the kids. Amen. Help them to get to the nursery. Amen. Now, I'm also thinking about a guy that was named Roger. And I remember Charlie Ware and I about 53 years ago. And I remember us. All right, let's pray until they could get that taken care of. Lord God, we thank you for this service. Thank you for the opportunity, Father. We just pray that everybody that's here would get what you have for them. And that you would bless with the kids, Lord, downstairs, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, there was this guy, and his name was Roger. And Charlie Ware and I asked him the question, Roger, where, and I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. When we started the church, people said, don't start a church down there. That part of Scranton is really a place for a mission and not a church. Because there are a lot of sinners down there. And our former pastor, Charlie, said, hey, Christ didn't say, I'll build my mission. He said, I'll build my church. And we're going to have a church. I liked it. And we were witnessing to Roger. He's an African-American guy. And he had an occupation that was not too savory. He was a pimp. Okay. And he was a pimp. And so we asked Roger. We said, Roger, we said, where are you going when you die? And I'll never forget it. Roger said, I'm going to the west side of hell, reserved for the brothers. I remember Charlie Ware and the first message that he preached at Scranton Revival Baptist Church 51 years ago as we rented the Progressive Center for $25 a week. And we would clean up from the dance that they had the night before, all the paper and stuff. And we would have our services with our songbooks. And he preached that first message. And I learned to serve the Lord back then. It was work, you know. And he preached that first message. And it was from 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom I am chief. And you know what? Jesus is still saving sinners. You don't get saved by going out and picking apples for Jesus or doing good works for Jesus and bringing them back to Him and saying, hey, am I good enough now? Have my good outweighed my bad? And can I get into heaven? That's not how anybody gets saved. Right. And He said Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And we had sinners. Your grandmother. We had a Bible study there. And Jessica's grandmother. And you know what? She was into prostitution. Her husband pimped her out. But you know what? We gave her the gospel. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Right. He said when people criticized Him for inviting sinners and being around sinners and giving them the good news, they criticized Him. He said, look it, I am a doctor. I have come to help the sick, to save the sick. And He did that. And you need to know this morning, 53 years later, He still comes to save sinners. He still is saving sinners. And He will save you from your sin. Now, He doesn't save you to live in your sin. He saves you out of it. Amen? He said to the woman taken in adultery, I don't condemn you. You're forgiven. But go and sin no more. He saves sinners so that we can live a Christian life. And I remember that Charlie Ware told me when we were visiting down in Scranton and we were having service at the Progressive Center. This was in the spring of 1971, 53 years ago. He said, you know what, Bloom? He said, there's a guy that he and his wife attended the church. Now, his wife was a German war bride. She was in Hitler's Germany. He was a military man, no doubt, that fought over there in World War II. His name was Rick Gift. Her name was Linda Gift. She had a German accent still. They had Billy, their son Billy, and Henry, and they came to our church service. And I remember Charlie Ware saying, boom, he said, let's go down into Scranton. Because in the spring of 1971, we lived on the Holy Hill up in the dorms up there, Baptist Bible, Clark's Green. He said, let's go down to Scranton because the church had already started. He said, there's a guy, Rick Gift, and his family, they attend service. He said, let's go down. And I said, okay. He said, I believe, Boom, he used to call me Boom, 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 Boom. I believe that guy is going to be a gift from God. I believe he's the first guy that's going to get saved. And we talked to him about Jesus and about being saved and how Christ died for sinners and to pay for the sins and to buy our way into heaven by His blood. And we said all that, and he said, I would pray to receive Christ. He said, but very honestly, I curse and I believe I'll go into work and I'll curse again tomorrow. And Charlie Ware said, well, you're just being honest. He said, you're trusting Jesus to save you. And He will help you if you get saved to live for Him. And so don't let that stop you. You come into Him as you are, a sinner that needs to be saved. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ if you want to be saved. And he said, yes, I do. And he prayed to receive Christ. I'll never forget it. Charlie said, now just repeat after me. Dear Lord. He goes, dear Lord. He was a drill sergeant. And that's the way he prayed. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Every time he prayed, Charlie was praying a soft boy. He prayed like a drill sergeant. But he got saved. They got saved as a family. They got baptized. The Gift family became the Gift from God. Later they lived in Wilkes-Barre. But they were the first members of our church. And I want to give you this morning on our 53rd anniversary, the Lord's invitations to you. He has two invitations to you. And the first invitation this morning is He gives you an invitation to rest in Him for your salvation. Now, I don't want you to go to sleep in the pew. Amen. Notice how we have the hard pews. So this invitation isn't to go to sleep in the pew. I want you to rest in the pew. I want you to put your body weight in the pew, but not to go to sleep. Now, that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, I give you an invitation to rest. And let's read verse 28 of Matthew 11. It says, Jesus said to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about rest from dead works of dead religion. Good to see my buddy here up there from Olivet, right? Amen and amen. He's giving you rest from dead works of dead religion. Here's what it says in Hebrews 9 when it talks about getting into heaven. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, you know what that was? The red heifer. The ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying the flesh. What it's saying is that in the Old Testament religion, God had set it up, but it was only temporary. Because they would offer oxen and kill them. They would offer, the high priest would offer a goat and kill it. They would take a red heifer and kill it and burn it and use the ashes to purify. Now, that could get the priest into an earthly tabernacle, but it couldn't get them into heaven. Even believers in the Old Testament who believed in the coming Messiah, but who lived under the blood of these animals, that animal blood didn't take away their sin. It only covered it until Christ could take it away. And so when they died, they didn't go to heaven. Did you know that? They didn't get to go to heaven till Christ died. They were saved on credit. But the sad thing is, even after Christ died, the Jewish people kept on with these animal sacrifices. And they didn't recognize Christ had already been sacrificed as the fulfillment so that we don't need the animal sacrifices. And so they're doing these dead works. And they're picking apples by doing these dead religious works. And there are people that are doing that today. They are hoping to get into heaven that way. But it says that Christ, by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place. That's in heaven. And he obtained an eternal redemption. In other words, when he died, it paid for the sins of the world once and forever. And it paid for all the sins for the whole life of anybody that rests in him. And he's inviting you to rest in what he did. And not to keep looking for something else that you must do when it's been done already. And that's how you're saved, through trusting all of your weight and your faith on what Jesus did. Remember, after that blood was shed, he took that blood when he rose from the dead, even before they could touch him. That's why Mary couldn't touch him. He hadn't gone up there with his blood. He got his blood and he sprinkled some of it on the altar in heaven, in the third heaven. And that blood totally is taken by God as the payment for the sins of the world. Have you trusted in the blood of Jesus to save you? Then your sins are paid for. Amen. That blood represents the death and the suffering and going through hell of Jesus. And that blood cries out for anybody that trusts that blood and says, I will pass over you. When judgment comes, you won't have to go to the judgment. You won't have to answer for the sins of your mouth, for the sins of your mind, for the sins of your life, because the blood of Jesus already was shed to pay for that. And he did that as the innocent Lamb of God. He had not one sin against him. And so he died on that cross, and that is what saves you. Boy, I remember laboring under dead works. I went to church and I had to dress up in a suit and I hated it. And I went to catechism and I did these things and I still didn't know if I was saved. And I had no personal relationship with God. And then my grandma, she told me that when God came in the flesh and he died on that cross, the place on the earthly tabernacle and temple where the high priest went once a year to shed blood, there was a big curtain that kept people out of the holy place, and the priest only went in once a year. When Christ died, he said, "It is finished." That curtain ripped in half.
That's right. Amen.
And you know what? Something happened to me when she said that. And I put my faith in the blood of Jesus, in the death of Jesus, to not only get me into heaven, but now to have a personal relationship with God, just like the priest could meet. I now had that person. And I was no longer trying to get there by dead religion, by my dead work. Now it was a personal relationship. And when I had dead religion, I really didn't enjoy it. I hated it. It was just a duty and a chore, and I was laboring under it, and it wasn't fun. But after I had that living relationship, I started enjoying Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know what? I even enjoy church now. I enjoy the Bible now. I enjoy prayer. I enjoy the Lord. But when I had dead religion, it was boring. It was dull. I believe somebody here may have dead religion. You know, I went up to Bonnie Kresge's. Bonnie is here this morning. She was here last week too. Like you, Marlene, her husband passed, but she's here. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I went up to Bonnie Kresge's with Jesse, and we visited her and prayed with her, and her... Her husband's brother, older brother, said, "Now don't forget Bonnie, Pastor." And I didn't. And I've been thinking about Bonnie. And we got up there and I saw a guy and I yelled down the hall. He was one of her neighbors. I said, "Hey, if you died today, are you sure you're getting to heaven?" He said, "Oh yes, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He's my Lord and Savior." And I went over to him. I said, "It's great to hear that you have seen Jesus." You know what? If somebody sees Jesus as the reason for getting into heaven, that's because God the Father opened their eyes. That's why I believe, because I saw Jesus. And you know what he said to me? Something I wanted to say to you anyway. I already had it written down to say it in my sermon. He said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died." And I said, "Wow, you see that Jesus paid it all, that when he died on that cross, that was everything that was needed to save you, and nothing more needs to be added to it?" And he said, "Absolutely. Listen, that is what Christ is inviting you to see and to receive."
Amen.
By simple faith, he's giving you that invitation. And yet, the Jewish people, they still have offered those sacrifices, and they're going to start them up again, the red heifer. They're going to rebuild their temple. I'll preach on that. That's a prophetic sign, but it's also pathetic. Because that will never get you into a relationship with a living God. You have to come through Jesus.
Amen.
Through faith in him. And I think about the Catholics. They have a dead religion.
That's right.
They have a priest. And that priest stands up and he offers the wine. And for one thing, it's alcoholic wine, which doesn't fit with the blood of Christ. He was pure blood. They got that wine. And then they ring a bell. It goes ding, ding, ding. You know what happens to the wine, they say, when that bell rings? It turns into the blood of Jesus. They got the wafer and they take that wafer and they say, when that bell rings, that wafer turns into the body of Jesus. And now they give it to you. And they say, when you're eating that, you're receiving Christ. Well, that means you're a cannibal. You're eating a human being. You're drinking his blood. And that's condemned in the Bible. And you know what? What they say is that is giving you, Jose, grace. And with that grace, you now can live a life, and God looks down at you and he says, oh, you're getting better. And at some point, I declare you righteous. But Jose doesn't know at what point that is. I say to you, that's dead works. It won't get you to heaven.
Right.
It won't get you into a relationship with God. It's dead religion. It's dead works. I think of the Jehovah's false witnesses. They say Jesus is created, that he's really Michael the Archangel. My Bible says that he was the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He was always with God. He was not made. He made everything. He is eternal. They are the Jehovah's false witnesses. They claim Jesus Christ as their head, but they're liars. That won't get you to heaven. It won't get you to God. It's dead religion. Mormons, same thing. They say Jesus and Satan are brothers. That makes Jesus a created being. No, he's God.
That's right.
He by himself redeems us.
That's right.
By his blood. And I'm just saying, he this morning is inviting you. He says, come unto me, all ye Jehovah Witnesses. Come unto me, all ye Jews. Come unto me, all ye Catholics. Come unto me, all ye dead Protestants. Come unto me, all ye people in Islam. Come unto me, all ye that have any kind of dead religion, because I am the living God.
Amen.
I will give you rest.
Amen.
You can just rely on me, and your sins will be washed away. And not just that, but you will have a new life that will cause you to leave your life of sin and to live for me. Have you taken him up on his invitation? If you have not, then you need to do that. Because when God made the world, he said, let there be light. And everything was energized in the darkness. And the watery matrix that he made, it was energized on the first day. And then he said, let there be a firmament or a sky. And he made the sky to separate waters above the firmament, waters below. And there was a watery matrix below. And he started to spin the globe. And the first day came, and the second day came. And then on the third day, he made all the water on the land to go into seas, and then the dry earth appeared. And then on the fourth day, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars as a permanent light fixture in the second heaven. And then on the fifth day, he made the fowls in the air and the fish in the sea. And then on the sixth day, he made all the land animals, and he made man in his own image. And then on the seventh day, guess what? God stopped creating. He's not creating new things anymore. He rested.
That's right.
From his work of creation. By the way, after Jesus lived a perfect life where we failed and kept the law, and after Jesus went through being cursed on the cross by God and spit upon and beaten, after Jesus died on that cross, and just before that he said, it's all finished, after he put his blood in heaven for us, he sat down. And he's still sitting down. And he's resting. There's nothing you can do to add to what he's done, but to rest in it. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you the rest. You say, what kind of rest, Pastor? The rest for your eternal salvation. The rest for all that needs to be done to save you from hell, so that you're guaranteed a home in heaven forever. Do you know that? Have you ever entered into that rest? Have you ever taken the Lord up on that? If not, he's inviting you to do that today. If you have, you know you have a relationship with him.
Amen.
Not based on your imagination, but on his word. And you know you have a home in heaven. An invitation to rest in him for your salvation. But listen to me, there's a second invitation here. And that is not only to rest in him for your salvation, but to work with him for your service. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good works.
Mary had a little lamb, it grew up to be a sheep, it joined Scranton Revival Baptist Church, and died for lack of sleep. You see, once you get saved, God puts you to work. And he says, and let me read the verse, he said in his second invitation to you, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:29-30. In his first invitation, he says, take my invitation to rest. My work is finished. There's nothing for you to do. Just receive it as done. But in his second invitation, he says there's work for us to do. Now, if you're taking on a yoke of service, you have to understand that Jesus is comparing himself to an ox. How many have ever heard Jesus comparing himself to an ox? But he does. Now, you know what an ox is, don't you? It's a big animal. It's strong. Sometimes my wife uses me as an ox. You know, when she wants me to lift something or do something. And an ox is stronger than you and I. Jesus said, when you rest in me as your Savior and you know you're going to heaven, then I want you to get yoked up with me. And they used to have these big wooden yokes, and one head of an ox, the big ox would be in one, and then the young ox that's being trained would be in the other, and they would pull together. The Lord is saying, now that you're saved and going to heaven, I want to get other people saved. And I want them to accept me. And I want you to work with me to get other people saved. And that's going to be work.
Right.
But the good news is, I will work with you. It's not like you're picking apples and bringing them to me. We're going to work together. He said, you take my yoke upon you and you learn of me. And he said, listen, the work is not going to be hard. It's going to be easy and the burden's going to be light because I am going to help you to pull. I am the big ox. Jesus said, I have all the wealth. I have all the wisdom, and I have all the power you need. Now, if you try to pull that cart, that ox cart, without the big ox, it's not budging. How many have ever tried to lift something or move something? It didn't even budge. Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. What the Lord calls you to do is impossible without him. In fact, the Bible says in John 15, Steve, without me, ye can do nothing. You can't. You can't even listen to a sermon and understand it without him. You can't even read your Bible and get something out of it without him. You certainly can't get somebody saved and go down the aisle to say they're saved without Jesus. I heard a guy go around to all different churches. He said, many churches, they're not doing anything for Jesus. But he said, Scranton Revival Baptist Church is.
Right.
But actually, we're not doing it for Jesus. We're doing it with him.
Amen.
He's doing the work here, in and through people. And so he says, look, if you link up with me, I got all the strength. I got all the wisdom. I got all the wealth you need. And I will lead you to do the impossible to get people saved and baptized and serving me and learning from me. But he said, I will help you if you link up with me. That is the work that I'm doing. And so his second invitation to you is to work with him. And what a blessing that is. Now, by the way, we are working with the Lord. Amen. We just started a fourth bus route, a Wilkes-Barre bus route. We have a Carbondale bus route. We have two Scranton and South bus routes. We have four bus routes. We have 372 passenger buses. And just as we're getting ready to launch out and start that fourth bus route, you know what happened. I told you, they raised the rates. They said, you're living, they didn't say this, but I said it, you're living in the O'Biden economy. You know why I say O'Biden? Because they work together, Obama and Biden. Obama's got an office right by the White House. Valerie Jarrett's still working with him. And they're working for the globalist cause, and that is to have the WHO take over your health and everything else. They're trying to do it with a treaty now and not go through Congress. Isn't that something? And in just a few months, Tedros will mandate your jabs and all of that, and you will have no freedom to travel or anything. It's all going to be done in the World Health Organization if they get their way. So, you know, you've got this happening, and we got... The bus company says, hey, everything's going up, and so the price per bus per day is $125, but we're now raising it up to $260 per bus per day. And that's without a driver. Our drivers have donated their time, usually. Now, $260. And we began to pray about that, and we said, Lord, we can't pull that load. We can't pull it. We don't have the money. But wait a minute. We're in the yoke of Christ. We can't back out of that. We're between a rock and a hard place. So what are we going to do? We're going to pull with Jesus. Amen. Last I checked, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's in the Bible. Right. Last I checked, he has all the wealth we need. We had a lady in our church, and she needed money, and still needs money, but $9,000 was raised to help her. Thank God for that. But I want to say to you that God can help. And so I said, you know what? We'll take it 1 week at a time. And we'll stay in the yoke of Jesus. And we'll step with him. He's got all the wealth. He's got all the wisdom. He's got all the power. We'll just take it one day at a time. You know, that's a lot of your problem. You try to take it beyond the Lord. Sometimes I get people in this church and they say, Pastor, here's something I'd like to do. And they want me to do it. And I say, well, I'm not there yet. I'll think about it, but you're putting a yoke on me that Jesus didn't put on me. Now, I love you, but I am not yoked up with you. I'm yoked up with the big ox, Jesus. And guess what? When I pull with him, he gives me all the wealth, all the wisdom, all the power. When I do my will, I have to foot the bill. That's where some of you are. You jump out of the yoke to go with yourself. You may have a good idea, but is it the Lord's? And then you try to get me involved in it, and I say, well, wait a minute, I can't do that. And you might get mad at me and say, well, I'm going to man. But you didn't save me. I check your hands. I don't see holes in your hands. I didn't see a hole in your side. I didn't see a hole in your face. I love you for Jesus' sake, but I'm serving him. And I'm not getting in your yoke unless it's Jesus' yoke. And you should think the same way. And so I said, what are we going to do? And I'm in Michigan helping my mom. I'm coming back, and my secretary called. She said, you know what? We had enough for last week, and now for this week, this that's today, we had somebody offer over and above their tithes, Brother Jose, over and above their tithes, we had somebody offer $260 to run a bus. Maybe it was your bus. Praise the Lord. Right, Brother Eric? Praise the Lord for that. This is a cleric preaching. $260. I said, man, praise the Lord. But you know what? Somebody heard about that. Another family heard about that. They said, we got two buses left. I'm going to give 260 times two and pay for the other two buses for today. That makes 520. That covers your bus, and that covers the other. So all three buses are covered. No, you're not. You're in the yoke of Christ. He's in the yoke of Christ. But it's covered. You say, what about next week? We'll deal with that one week at a time. We already had money coming in and more money coming in this week. I think next week's getting ready to be covered. I'm talking about Jesus' invitation for you to rest in Him. His salvation has been paid for by Him. It is a free gift. It's not a free ride. It's a free gift because He invites you, once you rest in Him, to work with Him. Get in His yoke. He said that yoke is easy and that burden is light. You know why I enjoy my work? By the way, I want to show you something here. Look with me at Matthew 11. I'm going to read this and we're going to wind it up. But look with me at Matthew 11 and look at this in verse number 29. And ye shall find rest unto your what? Say it out loud if you know. Say it out loud again. Notice it didn't say your body. I went to bed last night about midnight. I got up about 5 a.m. What'd you get up? 4:30? Is that your time? See that? He's getting up at 4:30. But I got to bed at midnight. That was pretty late. So I got up at 4:30. Now you say, was your body tired? It was tired. And for some reason I was thirsty. I was drinking water all night, Jose. Just drinking. Man, I was thirsty. Too much salt. I don't know. Jesse, where are you? We had all this salty food yesterday. But anyway, I'm just saying, I was working. And my body was working. But guess what? In my soul I had peace.
Good.
I had rest.
Amen.
I had joy. Because if you don't have love, joy, and peace in your heart, then you're not going to be very effective to win people to Jesus.
Right.
You know why a lot of Christians don't win people to Jesus? They're not yoked up with Jesus. They're not working with a big ox. And so they're trying to pull it off. Listen, He invites you to rest in Him.
Yes.
For your salvation, and then to work with Him for your sanctification and your service. And what a blessing it is. May God help you to respond to that invitation. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And first I want to ask you, if you know there was a time and place in your life where you took Him up on His invitation to rest in His finished work for salvation, and you can say, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what Thou art. You're resting in Him for salvation. You're not trying to work for salvation. You have a personal relationship with Him from that time, and so you have a Bible reason to be 100% sure you're going to heaven. If you have that, would you raise your right hand, hold it up, and let me see it. Amen. And amen, all over this auditorium. You may put it down. Some of you couldn't raise the hand, but before you leave, I would like you to be able to say, you know what, I know I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm entered into His rest, and I'm saved for sure. And I like that. So I want to pray for you if that's your need. If you couldn't raise your hand, but you want prayer that you would be 100% sure you're going to heaven, would you raise it right now? Just hold it up. Let me see it. Amen. Back in the back. Amen. That young man right there. All right. Somebody else. Amen. Right in the back. Someone else. A lady. All right. Some young people right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 young, 6 young people. Amen. And amen. And a 7th. All right. 7 there. And another one over there. All over this auditorium. And another one there. You know what that answers with the Bible? It said most people are going on the broad road. They're going to go to hell because they're trying to labor and work their way into heaven. They haven't seen Jesus, and that it's all paid for by Him. But today we want to help you with that. So The rest of you just pray, but those that just raised their hand, would you look right at me? Would you just lift up your head and look at me now? Just those. Everybody else put your head down. But if you just, yeah, thank you. Just look at me. I want to tell you that being saved is a free gift. It says, for by grace are you saved. That means you don't deserve it. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Have you ever had a birthday present? Shake your head if you have. Have you ever had a Christmas present? Shake your head if you have. This is like that. Have you ever worked for money and you had to work for it or you didn't get it? Shake your head. Yeah. This is not working to get to heaven. This is getting a free gift. You say, well, how do I get that gift? It's being offered to you right now by Jesus. You just reach up the empty hands of faith and you say, Lord, I receive your gift. I receive you as my Savior. I receive that you did all the work and I put my faith in you. Just like you're resting in the pew, rest in Jesus right now. And it says in the Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that? Don't doubt it. He says it's true. He doesn't lie. He can't lie. So put your faith in him, and he says, and he will save you. All your sins will be taken away. You say, what if I sin tomorrow or the next day? It's already paid for when you put your faith in him. So I'm going to ask, listen, if you raised your hand and you're looking at me, would you bow your head right now and just tell Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell to pay for my sins. But I thank you that you died for our sins. And I believe you rose again to save us. So I put my faith in you, Lord. Take my sins away. Save me from hell. Take me to heaven. If you just prayed that prayer and you believe God's promise, would you raise your right hand? Just hold it up. Amen. Just hold it up. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. While our soul winners are coming forward, I want the soul winners to come forward. Would you just quietly stand? People are coming, but you just stand. If you raised your hand, just stand. Yes, wherever you are, just stand. Just stand. I'm going to ask, the invitation is played, and the rest of you pray, but I'm going to ask you, come to the aisle and come meet me up front. I'm going to have someone pray with you. Yeah, just come. I'm going to have someone pray with you about what you just did. Just come. Wherever you are. Yeah, Jamie, come on. Come on. All right. Amen and amen. Just wait here a minute. All right, all our soul winners, if you've been trained as a soul winner, please come. Amen and amen. All right. I'm going to ask Jamie if you'll come. You girls, there's how many of you?
Six.
All right, I'm going to ask you all come with me. All you girls. Miss Diane, you got six girls here. Take them and do slips on. Amen. Go right. Oh, not you.
I go.
All right, not you. Those are girls. You can go. You can go. You can go. We're going to keep you here. All right. Amen. Perhaps you're here and you're a believer and God has spoken to your heart about serving the Lord. Follow through on that. Come back out tonight. We want to encourage you. I want to say that a lot of young people came forward. A lot of adults came forward for salvation, for that invitation. There's one named Kazja Hobson came forward for salvation, trusted the Lord, and is going to get baptized. We do have the parent slip for Kazja Hobson this morning. And then Nathan came forward, Nathan Smith, and was saved, wants to be baptized, and came forward in order to get that done. Nathan Smith, do we have his permission slip? Okay, good. I hope. Brother Steve, we do have Nathan's permission slip too. All right, he knows that, so that is taken care of, and that's going to be done. And others are being dealt with right now, so we're going to start a baptism very soon, but we want to praise the Lord. You know, for a number of weeks, for almost like 3 months, every Sunday, people are coming forward, getting saved, or they've been saved, and they're getting baptized. So we want to celebrate that. So let's sing our song of victory, which is victory in Jesus. Okay, help me out. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Sing it out. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the clay.